Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Red Talk Radio. Tonight is Three Bros Fantasy Football Show Year Review. So tonight I got my little bro Jermaine on. What's on, bro?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing, everybody?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. Just, you know, man, it's that time of year where, you know, all we got is basketball, and my Lakers ain't doing too good, so kind of sucks. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so what did you think of the Super Bowl, bro?
Man, that was one of the best Super Bowls I've witnessed in a long time. Man, dude, it was a great game until about that third quarter. It really started taking that turn when the line didn't hold up for Burrow. But it was as good as advertised, man. Jamar Chase, man, I'm gonna tell you, he's a beast, bro. Jamar Chase, I think he's gonna be definitely gonna be one of the top two receivers going in the next draft with his performance against Jalen Ramsey, man. But yeah, it was an awesome game all the way around.
Yeah, man, it was just a matter of time before the Rams started getting to Joe Burrow. Kansas City, you know, they really couldn't mount a pass rush, you know, and then Tennessee could mount a pass rush, but they couldn't score no points. So yep. It was just a matter of time. I think for me, I was happy to see Odell shine on a big stage.
Yeah.
He was about to ball out, man, till he got hurt. And, you know, man, and that's bad to get hurt in the Super Bowl because I don't see him being ready probably till what? Probably – week 6, week 7.
Yeah, mid-season, yeah.
Yeah, so, and as a free agent, that's not good. So, but, you know, the Rams, they did it. Cincinnati, definitely a surprise squad. You know, they're definitely on the come up. They just need to go in the draft, free agency, and everything should be offensive line. So,
Yes.
But look, man, let's jump into it, man. Fantasy season, you know, man, I gotta say this is probably one of the rougher years for me, but you know, you live and you learn.
Yes, sir. You better believe it.
Yeah. So I did win one championship, but in the leagues that I want to be competitive in, I just, man, it just didn't work out too good for me. So let me ask you, bro, what were your lessons learned this year?
Brother, I tell you what, man. Overall, I had good seasons, too. I did get a chip. But the thing that hurt me was not really paying attention to the old coordinators changing in certain teams. Man, that could be a game changer when an offensive coordinator leaves to that, like taking a head coaching job or in situations like that. You have to understand the coordinator coming in and what his scheme is. So what hurt me was like for Tennessee Titans, they lost Arthur Smith, and man, Tannehill was one of my top picks at QB. Henry, he struggled. So when you're picking your players in the draft, you have to know if there's coaching changes. That can change up everything. And I didn't pay enough attention to that, and it ended up hurting me in the playoffs. And you know, like, wow, well, in the playoffs, yeah, in the playoffs, because, man, I lost a lot of games while that team was trying, different teams are trying to get their continuity. It can hurt you. So I just want to pay more attention to sk- scheme changes and offensive coordinator changes going into 22?
Yeah, man. I think for me, but I think Tennessee, they didn't maximize their talent, Jermaine. It's like they had a team to me. Why don't you throw the ball to set up the run? You had A.J. Brown, who was out for a couple games. Mm-hmm. Then you had Julio Jones, who was still out for a couple games. And then they picked up Golden Tate and never used him. I forgot Never used him. They had Chester Rogers, and they had the Westbrook kid. Yeah. Why don't you use more four wide-out sets? You spread the defense out. That gives Henry more room to run. You know, it makes the defense. You know, I just don't think that what they did was smart offensively with what they had.
But, I agree.
I think for me, man, the lesson I learned this year was, man, I got to diversify my rosters, man. I think on like three of my teams, I had Chris Carson. Two of my teams, I may have had Tannehill as my starter. It was just, I had too many teams that if one player went out, he was out on another team.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't like he hurt me on one team. He hurt me on like two or three teams. So I think next year, being that I'm in a lot of leagues, I'm definitely going to try to diversify my roster. Because I just didn't like the position I was in a lot where, you know, I could go out and pick somebody up for a week, you know, and hopefully my starter will come back. But when you're trying to do that for three or four teams, it just doesn't work, man. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. I got a question, Lou.
How
do you think it is such thing in fantasy football as player loyalty? Where every year they're going to trust this player regardless, and it ends up biting people in the end?
I think it does to a certain extent. You got to look at the team and look at the player. Like Cleveland, you know Chubb will get his.
Yes, sir.
You know the Chargers, Keenan Allen going to get his and Eckler going to get his. You know Pittsburgh, they always want to run the ball. So whoever you got as a running back, you know, that guy's going to get touches. I think for me, I fell in love with Damian Harris this year. I just saw the kid at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, I was like, man, Damian Harris, you know, he going to be a beast. So, you know, I had him on like three or four teams. And then with New England, you never know what they're going to do. Bolden had good games. Then Ramondre Stevenson had good games. Then it's like, man, what happened to Damian Harris? So, yeah, man, I think, like, for certain players, depending on the team they with, then you could be loyal, but you really got to play that by ear, though.
Yeah, you made a great point. And, like, certain teams, like the New England Patriots, Baltimore Ravens now, you don't know what their backfield is going to look like this coming year. But the teams that use the committee approach, man, you can't gamble on that, man. If you got a guy and you like him a lot, you trust in him, but he's in a committee – man, you can't get those guys high, and that'll hurt you. It's hurt probably every last one of us on the show, too, getting these guys who you know, man, I don't know, you know, maybe they'll get the ball like Javonte Williams and Gordon sometimes. That stuff will hurt you, man. So you definitely got to be careful about falling in love with a player despite the circumstances. You got to do a little bit more research.
Yeah, Javonte is a good example, but when you look at real football, he was the better player.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
He was the better player, and the team seemed like they was more loyal to Gordon, who was in the last year of his deal. Basically, he got all his guaranteed money. Once he made the roster, he basically got all his money. So why not make Williams the number one? You see what you got of him, and you just use Gordon, you know, as a spot guy. So I just never understood that. But, like we said, it's all dependent on the team. It all depends on the team and their loyalty. Just like another player we can use, think about this. The Raiders and Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, that's a great group.
Josh Jacobs is always hurt, right? We know Josh Jacobs is always hurt. He got hurt early in the season. They used the boy that came from Watson, the Peyton Barber. Peyton Barber had two solid games. They wouldn't even use Peyton Barber as a spell back. You know what I'm saying? They went strictly all Josh Jacobs again. It was just like, man, bruh, y'all can't – that's how he get hurt. He can't handle a full season workload.
Yeah. Like you said, real football comes into play. And you talking about, like, the change in the draft strategy, that's going to come to – definitely come to play this year for me. And
yeah, man, let's talk about it. That's next up. That's next up. So, you know, man, I know, like, normally we all go into a draft with a certain strategy. Sometimes we go to a strategy that we've used for years. I know that for me, I've gone into drafts with a strategy and I stick to it. I can't do it no more, man. What about you?
Man, I tell you what. I do have a strategy, but the thing that makes it flexible for me, guys, is I'll have a certain strategy for the first 7 rounds. I got it. I can roll out of bed, and I know a strategy that I'm going to pick. And what I do personally is I go by who is the best value at their position, based off of the trend of the draft. And what I mean by that is what's coming off the board. I don't believe in following a trend. I try to start a trend. Because if you follow a trend, it can end up getting you. It can bite you in the rear because you're always going to be a step behind. And then your whole game plan goes to put. So I have a set game plan within my top 7. I know which players in positions I'm going to get pretty much the first, I would say, 4 rounds. But what I'm doing, I'm looking at who has the most value in that position. Whoever has more value in that position, that's who I'm picking. So I do think based off, you know, like Moose said, based off of your board and the trend, you need to have a backup plan based off of your strategy. You can't say, hey, fifth round, I'm taking a running back every time. No, you can't do that because you might have a receiver and there's only about maybe 4 good receivers left. You're picking in number 8. You're not going to get that player coming back around. So you have to be flexible and have a rhyme to a reason of your draft. Don't just follow a set order. I don't think it's a great idea.
Yeah, man, I know, like, for me, I don't know. I know me, you, and Carl. Now, I'm going to do it like this. When you're in a league where everybody is good, your draft has to be on point.
Right.
Because I think, especially in the Vic Clark League, everybody in that league is good, you know. So it ain't like you could come in there and one bad pick, you know, you can get away with one bad pick. That one bad pick might cost you a championship. I know normally what I've been doing is my first 3 picks have been running back. If you watch any of my drafts, my first 3 picks have all been running backs. I'm not doing that no more, bro. I'm switching up, man. I'm going to look at my team, look at my draft position, look at the best available player at mm-hmm. that position, at that round, and based on their productivity. Because I noticed that, all right, I might have three good running backs, but Lord, my wide receivers are trash. So let's just say in the first round I get a good running back. And the second yeah. round I get a good wide receiver available. Man, don't overthink it. Take the good wide receiver. You know, mm-hmm. just when you come back, you fill your roster in. See, and I just yeah. and that's really what hurt me last year is because I think I had Chris Carson on like three of my teams. I had Kareem Hunt on a few of my teams. Chubb basically stayed healthy last year. I think he missed, mm-hmm. one game?
Yeah, I think he missed one game.
So it's like, man. And then yeah. Antonio Brown killed me too. So,
yeah.
But, you know, man, I just think I can't stick with my strategy no more. My strategy has always been to go my first three picks go running back, then fill in my roster. I'm not doing that this year. And also, mm-hmm. I'm not doing no reaches, bro. I'm not going out on a limb with a guy that I think going to have a good year versus a guy that's proven to be a good
yes.
player. So, yeah, man, I'm not doing any reaches next year either. All the people I might reach on might be mm-hmm. rookies in the later rounds. But nah,
yeah.
man, not at crunch time. I'm not reaching on no players.
Guys, I will tell you what Lee said. That's A1. In the leagues we're in, that's why we have been very successful. All three of us is because we really limit the number of reaches we do. And if you do a reach, it may be for one player, and it may be in a later round. But in those first about five rounds. Your first five rounds are going to build the core of your team. And one of the things I've learned, Big Carl, he taught me this. I learned from him. And what you do, just like Lou said, you can get a receiver, you can get a running back. But it's just like a real NFL team. You got to build the talent around your big key players. Your first three picks, a majority of your scoring is going to come from those about three players. You cannot miss. So even if you have to sacrifice a few points, you want somebody who is going to produce every year, like a Nick Chubb, the Alvin Kamaras, the Joe Mixons, the Mahomes. Which I don't take quarterbacks that early, but you have to build your team around consistent players. Even if they only average 9 points a game, I'd rather take a steady 9 points a game than an up and down 7 points a game. He may have a big game here and a big game there. That's a reach. Get the guy who produces in at least for maybe 2 years or more.
Yeah, man. And I think, you know, we were talking about running back by committees. It's like some of these teams, they start off as running back by committee, and then, you know, slowly but surely you see that somebody is becoming the number one. Like last mm-hmm. year, DeAndre Swift, you know, the first couple games, it was like 50-50 between him and Williams. And then as you saw the year go by, it was basically DeAndre Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo, it was Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
Where at the beginning of the year, it was some Breida. It was some loss, but as you saw, the year went by, became Devin Singletary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna stay away from that number two back, Jermaine. Mm-hmm. I think that number two back is probably will be a safe cuff at the end of the draft. But as far mm-hmm. as you banking on him to be a contributor, nah, man, I'm not doing that no more. I mean, like last mm-hmm. year, I took Kareem Hunt, Jamal Williams. You know, and I was like, bro, damn, Jamal, I mean, you know DeAndre was hurt at the beginning of the year, and you did nothing? that Kareem Hunt got hurt, and it was like, then when he came back, it was like, too late, bro. Chubb is the man.
Yeah.
He basically got relegated to third down back. Yeah, man, but, you know, draft strategy, y'all, you have to be flexible in your draft. Don't be stubborn to a point of what you're going to do. Like I was. Next year, man, I'm you know, it's different for me, Jermaine. I'm totally going to be different, getting away from what I've been doing, man, because it's going to lead us into our next topic. You know, I went and looked at the top scorers in the league outside of quarterback, and when I did the top 15, out of the top 15, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 were pass catchers, and 8 were running backs. And I got to thinking. Are we overvaluing running backs in today's game? Because if you look at it, I'm gonna give you the wide receivers that finished in the top 15. Deebo Samuel, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp, Mark Andrews, and Mike Evans. They finished in the top 15. Pass catchers. Now, I'm gonna tell you. All right, Jonathan Taylor scored 333 fantasy points. Cooper Kupp wasn't that far behind him. He scored 294.
Yeah.
So it's like in today's game, especially in today's fantasy game, are we still putting too much priority on running backs, being that the real game of football has changed, whereas quarterbacks and wide receivers are now putting up big numbers? So how do you feel about that, about the running back still being the cornerstone of a fantasy football team?
Man, that's a great question. I think now, guys, because of the 18-game schedule, it's going to shift some things, because now you're not going to have a whole bunch of running backs playing 18 straight games. You're not. I think it's paying attention to where you're drafting, and of course, your scoring, the way your league scores, is really going to dictate on which are you going to value more. Like in our league, we have a flex position. So we have a quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, and a flex. Well, in a league like that, I did a research. There was 24 running backs that averaged over 10 points a game last year in fantasy football. There was only 18 wide receivers who averaged over 10 points. So based off of that, I still say running back. But like Moo said earlier, you have to know where you are in the draft. And if it's coming to a point where the running backs, you have more running backs than wide receivers, well, now that's going to dictate where you draft, because you need to know where what positions are getting thin. A lot of times I've done it. We ain't paid attention. We're paying attention to what we're drafting, our strategy. And next thing you know, by the time we come around, there's no wide receivers left. So I would say no to that answer on that. But if you see the wide receivers starting to come off the board, like you said, Moody, that's when you got to break ranks and just grab that wide receiver first. And you might have to do that first round depending on where you're drafting it.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. I think I think when you drafting, be smart about not being stubborn. Be smart about not being stubborn. you might go into your draft saying you're taking a running back in the first round. What about a Devontae Adams or Jamar Chase or Deebo Samuel sitting right there at 7? That's a tough tough position. Because probably the seventh running back is going to be probably next year, the seventh running back, you're going to say Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, Eckler, Kamara. Some people still going to take C-Mac in the first round. Mixon, Chubb, you know. And Chubb fell to the second round in some people's drafts. So, so if you got a chance at Deebo Samuel, Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp, do you take one of them? And then you hopefully come around and Cam Akers is available? You know, you got to weigh that decision so that that way you're not just going into the draft saying, nah, man, I got to take a running back. Got to take a running back. No.
No, sir.
No. Take the best available player at that position and fill your team in accordingly. The top, like I said, I don't think Cooper Kupp is going to have another tip. It all depends next year because it all depends on if Robert Woods can come back early.
Mm-hmm.
We already know that Odell ain't going to be back to mid-season, and we don't even know whether or not he's going to be with on the Rams. But without Robert Woods and without Odell, teams can really, really double-team Cooper Kupp now.
Shut him down in the Super Bowl after the half when he went down. They struggled, man.
So, just people, when you go into your draft, be flexible. Don't be stubborn. Look at how the draft is flowing. If you see it as a run on wide receivers, you might have to jump on a wide receiver. If there's a run on tight ends, I really don't jump into runs on tight ends. But pay attention to that also. And then probably in the third, fourth round, you might start seeing a run on quarterbacks. If you ain't going to get the top five quarterbacks, then just stay patient for your quarterback. You know, like Maine said last year, Kirk Cousins went, I want to say, in the sixth round. Tannehill went late. Matt Stafford went late. Who else won late last year?
Man, you got to steal the draft, bro. And Big Hartley, you got
Joe
Burrow. See, at almost like the ninth round or something.
Yeah.
Tenth round.
Yep.
So you don't need, like you said, man. You don't. So apparently. He was my backup. See?
Yep.
So, yeah, if you stay patient, those players will fall to you, man. You don't have to go reach on the positions. Yo, I can tell anybody, there's only going to be on the top quarterbacks. I got it written here. The top scoring quarterback was 24.6 points. Based off Fantasy Pros, which is Josh Allen. The difference between number 10 is 4 points a game, which is Stafford at 20.4.
So
Stafford,
if you take away
Stafford in the 10th round, you see.
So if you take away Josh Allen rushing, basically he would have been even keel with the number 10 quarterback.
Exactly. Come on, man.
Never thought of
it that way. You see, man, so, like, quarterbacks, I wait on a quarterback all day. Why? Because if it's not going to be a big difference in points, why am I drafting one in the fifth round? I don't have to. So that's
true.
What me and Moore are saying. You got to know your board. If you know you can get value around 10 and get a quarterback, shoot, load up. That's how you're able to get a Joe Burrow in the 10th round.
Yeah.
They still have a solid team.
Yep. Hey, man. But, you know, I'm definitely gonna chalk this season up as last season. Chalk that up as, hey, first season with 17 games, got to be smart, you know. Got to see how teams are playing early. So, but look, man, you know, going into the draft every year, there's players that's going to be overvalued and players that are going to be undervalued. So give me some players that you think going to be undervalued next year and why.
Man, that's a great – man, you hit one of them to me earlier in the podcast. Damian Harris. Damian Harris, I know, yeah, it's a crazy backfield, but he still averaged 12.8 points. He was in the top – yeah, he was still good. Do I think that going forward they're going to use 50 backs up every week? No. That boy is there as a star, and he's consistent. When he is in the game, he is consistent. Matt Jones, I feel, is going to take a next step up, and I think he's solid. And I got one more, man. If nobody would probably guess, who was the sixth leading fantasy QB for 2022? Who beat Rodgers? Man, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, guys, was the sixth leading fantasy quarterback in fantasy football. And nobody guaranteed drafted him before the 10th round. So that's just showing you, like we're telling you, you got value. And I still don't think he's going to be – I still think he'll fly under the radar this year because he runs. He can throw a little bit. I think they're going to get better. And I think he has a high ceiling.
Yeah. Man, I just don't know about Jalen, man. Because you take away the running, bro, he still can't throw the ball to me. But the running is part of the game. So, you know, as far as that, yes. But – man, I just the real football in me, well, the eye test say no, but the fantasy in me say I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor, remember him back in the day?
Yep.
Tyrod Taylor was always one of the top fantasy quarterbacks. In the NFL league, he was average, but in fantasy, he was lethal. That's who he reminds me of.
Well, Jermaine, I'm about to hit you with my undervalued. And one of these names, you basically said, this guy, picked this guy up, I want to say about week six, week seven. And this guy probably won a lot of people championships last year. Amon St. Brown. I think he's going to be undervalued again going into this year's draft because of the team he plays for. It ain't because of his skill. It ain't because that he doesn't produce. It's because of the team he on. And if you saw him play last year, they started doing Deebo Samuel stuff with him, lining him up in the backfield, you know, letting him run it. You know, he was doing reverses, jet sweeps. I think he is going to be undervalued, not because of his talent or his skill, but solely based on his team. The guy, he was a beast last year. All right, I'm going to knock your socks off with this one, Jermaine.
What you got?
I think Lamar Jackson is going to be undervalued next year.
Okay.
And the only reason I say that is because the last two seasons he left the field injured. He wasn't playing good last year when he got hurt. He wasn't running the ball as effectively. So a lot of people are going to undervalue Lamar Jackson. One thing you have to keep in mind, people, Baltimore is going to have a third-place schedule next year. So they're probably going to have one of the weakest schedules next year. So look at their schedule. And watch, I bet you Lamar Jackson should have a big year next year, But also keep an eye on his contract situation.
Yes.
Keep an eye on his contract situation. I think that'll play a major part in probably how he plays also. But I think Lamar Jackson is going to be undervalued next year. Let's give the people some good news. Who you think gonna be overvalued? Like this bad news, really. Think gonna be overvalued?
Man, I would go with one of my quarterbacks. I think he underperformed, and that's Dak Prescott, man. Dak Prescott, going into season, they had such high hopes. The receivers they had, and Zeke and everything, and man, it was nothing. It was nothing of the sort. And I mean, shoot, dude, I wish I had Stephen A. right here with me, man. Everything about the Cowboys is overhyped. I still don't think he's going to do all that this coming year. And as far as his, you know, his points, Jalen Hurts outscored Prescott. I think Prescott was number 7-8 in the league, just a little over 20 points. But I still think people, because of the offense and the names, that they'll reach for him. And I would say I don't think they're going to overvalue this guy no more. But Julio Jones, man, the name, if you fall in love with the name, you're going to get bit. He only averaged 4.9 points last year. No one would have never thought Julio Jones would drop a dud like that. And like Moose said, the coach, I don't know what the offensive coordinator's name is, but he clearly doesn't know how to utilize his talent. And I just can't bank on a rebound year for a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver. So that's just my concern.
I think with Dak, the one thing about Dak is he doesn't beat winning teams.
Mm-hmm.
He beat up on bad teams, but he doesn't beat winning teams. And guess what Dallas is going to have next year? First place schedule. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
You have a first place schedule next year. So I'm just saying. He ain't going to be too many bad teams on that schedule, so. But I think a player that's going to be overvalued next year, and I hate to say it because he's one of my favorite players in the league, and also I think you got to keep an eye on his legal situation. I think it's going to be Alvin Kamara, man. And no Sean Payton. They probably going to run the same offense, but I still think Sean Payton was a key to some of the play calling. And they don't have a quarterback that's going to scare defenses, man. I think Jameis is going to move on. I think they're going to go in a year with Taysom Hill as the quarterback. And Taysom Hill just doesn't scare defenses. He only scares defenses with his legs, not with throwing it. So I think a lot of people are going to – Alvin Kamara is probably going to go in the top six, top seven, but I don't think he'll give you top six, top seven production next year. He's still going to have to get his touches. But I worry about his production. And also with the legal stuff he got going on, he might even be suspended a couple games next year because of what happened in Vegas. So keep an eye on that also. Another guy, I hate to say this, Jermaine, because he played for our team, he's going to be overvalued, Antonio Gibson. This stat here about Gibson scares me the most. He had the most fumbles amongst running backs last year. You can't turn the ball over. You know, because in most leagues, you get penalized for turnovers. -2 for turnovers. Gibson, I don't know, man. And then they don't use him on third downs. And that, especially for a guy that's coming to the league that was more known for his hands because they play wide receiver and some running back. But Washington doesn't use him on third down. So he's really not giving you nothing in the pass game unless, you know, it's a check down. So I worry about Gibson, people taking him, you know, maybe in the first round, you know, early second. He did finish as a RB, as running back number 10 last year. But those fumbles and not being involved in the passing game worries me, Jermaine.
Yeah. Actually, man, that's an excellent call, man. And this is like stuff like that, guys. Man, gosh knows. You know, you'll put you in a situation like this, you was talking about receiver over running back. Man, I ain't going to lie, bro. Like, in a situation of taking Gibson, I probably would go wide receiver. Because I know it's the fumbles. I think he had like 6 last year. I mean, gosh, man. So like getting a player like this and being stuck with him, you'd want to get that extra back like you was talking about, Moo, just to cover you with him if he starts to play bad, to get that extra running back based off of your team.
And I'm not even going to lie. The guy that you was hyping up going into the season last year, Jarrett, the running back, the rookie running back, he played better than me. In his little spot duty, he looked more explosive. He ran harder. He barely lost yards than Gibson to me. He looked like he wanted it more than Gibson to me.
Mm. Yeah.
What was his name? Jared Patterson? Was it Patterson?
Was it Patterson?
Yeah, it was Patterson, man. Right?
Shoot, they got to look it up.
Yeah, I think it's Patterson, though. Because that kid, I had picked him up that game against Philly. I had picked him up that week. Actually, I just picked him up for my DraftKings. He ended up having a big game. And then I was watching the game. I was like, man, this kid is nice.
Yeah. I do not know his name. Yeah, it is Jarrett Patterson. Yeah, you was right. Jarrett Patterson.
Yep. All right, man. So, you know, every year when you go into the draft, a lot of us are normally weary of drafting rookies. But depending on the situation and the talent of that rookie, normally you have to take a stab at it. 2 years ago, it was Justin Jefferson. Last year, it was Ja'Marr Chase. Alvin Kamara, his rookie year. You know, it's like, it's certain rookies that you have to keep an eye on, especially in preseason. In preseason, see how they're being used. Does the coach have confidence in them? Are they getting him the ball in spots where they can do something with it? Rookies are hard to gauge, but I have to say, I drafted Edgerrin James his rookie year. Had a great year. I drafted Reggie Wayne his rookie year. Had a great year. So sometimes you have to look at the rookie, look at their situation, especially with wide receivers. If they going in as the number 2, you definitely got to look at the team they on then. Because look at Justin Jefferson his rookie year.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson going in as a solid number 2 behind Thielen. Ja'Marr Chase was maybe the number 3 behind Boyd and Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
So give me a rookie, man, that's going to be on your radar next year.
Man, I know you said, man, I definitely say Garrett Wilson for Ohio State, man. Garrett Wilson can ball. And just like we were saying about number 2, of course he would go there, you know, to whatever team as a number 2. But him and the young man, Olave, for them as
Olave.
Well, both of those, Olave, both of those kids are great. But Garrett Wilson, he's a more polished route runner. He's smooth. He gets in and out of breaks really good. And depending on the team he goes to, man, if he if he gets to a team with a quarterback and he can get acclimated to the offense, I think he'll do really well.
Yeah, man, I had Olave too, man, and I wrote down he'd be a perfect number two wide receiver coming from Ohio State with the pro-style offense, good route runner. But I also put might have problems getting off of press coverage. But how many teams in the NFL play press coverage now? Every time you look on TV, they playing bail. Or they 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. So it ain't too much press coverage, man, playing in the NFL. So I did like Olave as a number two. But I'm going with this guy, man. He showed me a lot last year. I'm going to the kid from Alabama, man, Jameson Williams.
Okay.
He tore his ACL in the championship game. But when you look at it, he got top-end speed. He played at Ohio State. Before he came to Alabama. So he played in the pro-style offense before. And if we're looking at the league, Bama wide receivers are transitioning well to the NFL. Look at the two kids last year, Waddle and Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They both had good seasons last year.
Yeah.
Then you got Julio, you got Amari. You got there's one more. I can't think of the third one right now for Bama, but there's another wide receiver for Bama that's actually doing pretty good too. So
Metchie.
But
Metchie, who? I think it ended. Metchie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Metchie come out this year.
Oh, okay.
Ruggs is having a good year too. He got in trouble. Ruggs is having a solid year too. Till he got in trouble. But it's another rookie, man, that, man, I hope he go to our team, Jermaine. Matt Corral, man, at quarterback from Ole Miss. I hope he's available when we pick at 11. The guy can throw the ball. He can run it. Played against SEC. So that means he played against the competition. And I don't think a team will have to run a college offense for him to be successful. I think you could play a traditional NFL offense for him, and he could still put up numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'll be solid. And, bro, I tell you, we need all the help we can get. I like the boy from Pittsburgh, too, man. Not even more than him. Man, if I had my pick, other than Corral, I like Sam Howell from back down the street from my Tar Heels, man. He's a baller. He got an edge to him. He can run. He reminds you a lot of Josh Allen. He can run well. He's a playmaker. He just had a down season because he lost. I mean,
he lost
course,
a lot
man,
of
time. He lost. Yeah, man, he lost some good players, but he's a baller. And even if Matt Corral ain't there, I would be fine with Sam Howell, bro.
Yeah, I like Sam Howell. I think especially with him staying basically his whole 4 years, basically he's mature. Like you said, they lost a lot of talent. They lost both running backs. They lost De'Ami Brown, who left? Who was a wide receiver? They lost their number two wide receiver, so you know he's supposed to struggle. You know, just like when you know Carl's quarterback, Carl Trask, when all them guys decided they wasn't gonna play in the bowl game. Look at what Trask looked like. He like trash.
Mm.
So it's crazy, man. But look, man, we got like a couple more minutes. Let me ask you this real quick. I know, man, I know I hate doing this, but we got to do it. We do it every year. Who is on your do not draft list?
Oh, man. man, I don't want to make it up. You know how McCaffrey hurt me, bro. Boy, I tell you. Man, I can honestly tell you, though, McCaffrey, I can't do it. I can't, man. The last 2 years, he's missed a lot of games. And like you were talking about in the Tennessee's problem, Carolina don't know how to use him. He's not – I was talking about this earlier. He's not a 25-touch game, back, at most 18-touch back now. And he's going to be he's going to be projected to go high. I cannot pick him in the top three pick. I can't do it. Even if I'm sacrificing points by getting the second tier guy, that couple of picks behind him, like a Kamara or a Chubb. I get Chubb before I would get McCaffrey. So I just can't. I can't pick him, man. I can't do it.
I totally agree. I don't have McCaffrey the last 2 years. You know, especially this year, I got him at number six in one league. I was like, wow, he fell to six. I was like, I got the steal of the draft. Man, come on.
I picked him first move. Ooh, man, that hurt, bro.
Yeah, because basically you can't recover from your number one pick not playing. That, the number one pick is your start. So, on my do not draft list, Saquon, I can't do it. He's definitely on my list. I can't do it. But I'm going this way. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
I don't care where he go at. He could go to Kansas City. I'm not drafting him. Bro, you know, maybe him going to Kansas City, he could revitalize his career because him being a number one, he did not. He balled out when he was a clear and solid number two. So, nah, man, I'm staying away from Juju, bro. I can't have him on my team, man. I can't do it.
I feel you, bro. I wrote down Saquon too is my number one biggest bust. I can't fool with him either, bro. I can't do it, bro.
I think last year between Saquon, Juju, who was a tight end that we beat up a lot last year?
Oh, man, we had a few of them, bro. They hot with that,
Was it Evan Engram?
Evan Engram, yeah. We demolished him. I'm surprised he ain't called in yet.
So, it's a couple guys that we stand away from. But being that we said a guy that we stand away from, let's end the show on a positive note. What's a guy that you're definitely going to target next year?
Austin Eckler. I think Eckler is the new Kamara and the new he's a healthy McCaffrey to me. And he has a great quarterback. They're going to score points. He finished number three, the third best fantasy back last year. They got him projected to go number four in the top four. I would want Eckler, man. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, man, I like that pick. But I'm going to go with your boy, man, down the street, coming from North Carolina. I'm looking at drafting Javonte Williams, dog.
Okay.
I just think this guy, if he's given an opportunity, well, he should be because Melvin Gordon only signed a 2-year deal, and last year was the last year of his deal. He showed what he can do when he's the number one guy, when he get all the time. And let's just say Denver doesn't get a what we would call a top-notch quarterback. I think he's going to be the focal point of the offense. So I'm looking at Javonte Williams next year, bro. I think he's going to explode next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even with even with Bridgewater at quarterback, who's still decent, I still think he'll make enough plays. And you got Jerry Jeudy coming back, Sutton coming back, Noah Fant. I think they could surprise some people.
Yeah, man. But look, man, you know, it's always fun doing this wrap up show. You know, we get to reflect on if we had a good season or a bad season. I know Big Bro, I know he won a championship in one of the leagues that we were in. I know you won the Tampa Bay League, right?
Yes.
Yep. I won an ESPN league, though, the Money League. But, hey, man, it's always fun talking football with my bros, especially when we win. Hey, just let y'all know that we ain't just blowing smoke. So, but, hey, got any last words, bro?
Yeah, man. Just want to say a thank you to any of our military personnel that's listening to us. We appreciate you. Appreciate you too, Moo. You and Carl for your service, man. And my prayers are with you all, and we thank you all for all that you do.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Your nephew over stationed in Hawaii right now. So.
Oh, man.
Hey, man, but look, next year when we do this, me and Jermaine will probably be sitting in the same house doing this on Friday nights. We'll probably rotate between his house and my house. So that's going to be fun. Hopefully next year when we do our fantasy draft, we can get Carl to come up or we go down or meet somewhere.
Yeah,
in the middle. Hey, man, either any which way it go, we're going to be together next year, probably more, definitely more than we have been. Being that I move here in the next couple of weeks. So this show is always fun. Chopping it up with my bros. And we'll be back next year, y'all. Thank y'all for y'all support. Hopefully we won some of y'all championships. If we did, we'll be better next year. So everybody have a great weekend. Take care of yourselves. And as always, we always end with a peace.
Yeah.